global warming is simply out of control. There has never been exciting news, just graphs that become steadily red and restless. Every other year sets a new milestone, from the severest heat waves to the quickest melting ice. It's never ending and ever increasing. We've learned for ages that greenhouse gas emissions are driving dramatic climate change. However, without ever lowering them, the planet emits 50% more CO2 in 2019 than in 2000. And pollution continues to rise. What is the justification for this? Why is it so difficult to simply avoid releasing these gases? Our total CO2 emissions can be represented as a result of four variables and their interactions. Two of them discuss why global CO2 levels continue to rise, and two explain how we should put a stop to it. Population, economic growth, energy intensity, and emissions per energy unit generated are all factors to consider. Number one, population size. People need food, shelter, and clothes. And they demand luxury goods ranging from iPhones to $1 cheeseburgers. More people means higher CO2 emissions. It is a precise estimate. As per the UN, the Earth's population will plateau at around 11 billion people in 2100, 40% more than nowadays. The simplest way to decrease this surge is an investment in childcare, contraceptives, and schooling in developing nations. However, even with significant intervention, the consequences of lower birth rates will take many decades to manifest because the world's population will continue to expand in the near future. As a result, global CO2 emissions will increase for several more decades. Number 2, growth, also known as getting richer. But it isn't simply about statistics. The wealthier and more technologically advanced we are, the more pollution our way of living creates. A programmer in the United States emits more CO2 than 50 farmers in Uganda. Just about anywhere in the world, money is increasing. Despite being difficult to circulate, world economic growth has resulted in significantly higher living conditions and the greatest decline in severe poverty in humankind's history. Progress has become the prevailing theme of the world's markets, regardless of the political framework. Rich countries are reluctant to abandon the idea of development anytime soon. And if they did, developing nations want to get developed as well. For billions of individuals, the end of development will almost undoubtedly mean remaining poor, thus developing nations are unlikely to pause economic growth. Overall, we all can accept that development as a driving economic philosophy is not going anywhere anytime soon. More countries and their inhabitants will rise to become wealthier globally, while the developed economies will continue to expand their prosperity. There are some hints that CO2 pollution can decouple growth, but we're not there, thankfully. CO2 emissions will increase as a result of this development. So far, we've discovered that as the world's economy and population expand, so will humankind's CO2 emissions. It is the inverse of what should be taking place. Annual emissions must be reduced by slowly decreasing, dropping, and then diminishing. The following two aspects explain how we would accomplish this. Number 3, energy intensity. Energy intensity explains how energy is used effectively. A street food seller may ignite coal to prepare food, while another street food seller may use a nuclear-powered induction cooker. The latter is far more efficient and effective. The minimal resources we use to do something, the more efficient it is. If it's powering a city or roasting a kebab, developing our technologies more efficiently and devising more efficient ways to manage our economies is one of the most critical solutions to decreasing the contemporary world's CO2 reliance. This will include anything from reducing electricity consumption through artificial intelligence to electrifying the automotive and manufacturing industries and producing renewable concrete. The prospects for development seem to be almost endless, and human imagination will run wild. However, we recognize that growing productivity alone would not suffice, owing to three factors. Direct rebound effects are the first rebound effect. These imply that as everything becomes more effective, it is used more, and therefore the improved productivity does not result in as drastic a decrease as you would expect. Worse, Often increased efficiency causes humans to use more of a resource rather than less of it. When flights had become more fuel efficient, the price of tickets fell, and thus more people began to fly. Doing it more effectively does not imply that you can consume fewer resources overall. It'll likely have the reverse effect. Indirect rebound effects are the second type of rebound effect. When you can save resources on something that has become more efficient, you may decide to spend them elsewhere. For example, if you drive a more fuel-efficient automobile, you can save money on gas and end up with additional funds in your bank account that you can use to go on holiday or take a trip. As a consequence, even though you own a more efficient vehicle, you can end up emitting more CO2. 3. Finally, the more you strive for efficiency, the more difficult and costly it will be to get more efficient. As a result, the return on investment reduces with time. And we are already very effective for many innovations. However, irrespective of how efficient our economies become, we will also have pollution as long as we require at least some energy. Performance alone would not result in a zero-carbon planet. This takes us to our final consideration, number 4, CO2 emissions per energy unit used, also known as our global carbon footprint. The global carbon footprint of humankind is the amount of CO2 emitted per unit of energy created. Coal plants, for instance, generate far more CO2 for each unit of electricity than solar power. This connection is unmistakable. The larger our consumption of fossil fuels, the higher our CO2. Right now, fossil fuels are humanity's most dangerous tool. Of course, closing down oil and coal will instantly send civilization into utter chaos. However, the fact is that we aren't doing sufficiently enough to suppress fossil fuels and replace them with lower carbon substitutes. We need to do two things to step up the change from fossil fuels. Next, we must use the real power we now have, thanks to today's technologies. We can do a great deal in a short time. We could hold nuclear reactors operational for a longer time. Incentives to the fossil fuel sector should be reduced and redirected to renewables. We should impose a high price on carbon emissions and raise it year after year to generate good subsidies for the world's industries to switch. We may implement rigorous requirements for energy conservation and new construction of any type. We have the power to phase out fossil fuel cars. Next, we must develop newer and improved technologies. It would be difficult to reach a zero CO2 emission environment without technological advances and creativity by carbon capture, a new generation of nuclear power plants, or new batteries that fundamentally change renewable energy storage. However, creativity needs time, years, if not decades, and we do not have this privilege. Every year, we manage to pump more emissions into the environment. This means that we can no longer focus entirely on creativity. We must find solutions to curb pollution now while also inventing what we will require in the future. The fewer fossil fuel we ignite in the coming years, the more scope creativity will have to keep up. The more low-carbon electricity systems we create today, the more we will accommodate for global growth and people born today. The more coal-powered plants we keep from being completed, the more CO2 we conserve. Neither invention nor the solutions we have currently will address the issue of accelerated climate change. However, along with a decisive shift from fossil fuels to renewable energy where possible today, innovation does have the potential to be done. The solution to climate change would be difficult. We must consider the interests of billions of people and the fact that civilization is primarily based mostly on fossil fuels. This would not happen immediately, so it must happen as soon as possible. It's all just so much a possibility.